Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter number 51 in the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 51 in the Word of God today. For those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now entitled A Journey in the Psalms. A Journey in the Psalms, and we've been looking at different psalms all around this book and really digging into God's Word in an expository manner, kind of looking verse by verse. And it's one of these books of the Bible that it can be difficult running through just chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, like we're doing on Wednesday nights in the book of 1 Thessalonians. There are several chapters in the book of Psalms that deals with the same subject quite over and over and over again, and we see that kind of repetitive motion there, so we've been moving back and forth, and today we're going to be in Psalm chapter 51. As you find your place there, I want to encourage us as a church to continue to reach out to this area. As you make your way out today, you'll see on the back walls there, there is what we call a track rack. And up there are even some new tracks we had designed this past spring. And grab a handful of those as we go out to the restaurants, the grocery stores, the gas station, and just meeting and greeting with our neighbors. Let's continue to invite folks in. I truly believe, looking at the book of Revelation, that we are very close to our Lord's return. And we all know somebody that is lost in their sin and does not know Jesus as their Savior. And how are they going to know the way without you and I fulfilling the Great Commission and inviting folks to come in and leading someone to Christ? I told our small group this morning that is one of the greatest feelings that you can have, emotional, on this earth. I know many of you say, well, it's probably when you got saved or when you held that baby for the first time. And those are wonderful, or excuse me, when you got married. But man, those are great. But boy, I'm telling you, you just want to get excited, lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no feeling like it on this earth. It's incredible. And I also want to just remind you, for those of you who are on social media, there is a new series I'm going to be preaching here this fall. It's entitled Heroes of the Faith. And it's dynamic. Been putting several months of some study behind it, and I'm looking forward to preaching it this fall. And you're going to see some advertisements come out for that series. One ran about a week and a half ago. Another one come out this week. And as you see, our secretary here, Ms. Nicole, send those out. If you would, share those. And you can pay for advertisements, but well, I'm telling you, just getting on there and just sharing that, it'll go through all out this area. And somebody may talk to you and say, hey, well, what's this new series? You could say, well, just come to Cross Point Baptist Church. You're going to enjoy this new series that's coming up, and invite them and have them with you. And we're just looking forward to God continuing to fill up this place. And we have a job to do. Now, listen, we have a job to do, every one of us. And I know sometimes we think our job is going to work. You know, we got to work and we got to get money and we got to live and we got to climb the corporate ladder and we got to do this. And yeah, I know we live busy lives, but God commissioned you and I as believers to go into all this world and to teach them and to share with them. And let's be busy about our Father's business. I know times are tough and it looks crazy out there, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many believe that verse? Say amen this morning. I love that song we just sang, One Day He's Coming. I believe it's going to be very, very soon. Psalm 51, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word today? Psalm chapter number 51. Let's look here at just several of these first verses. Psalm chapter 51, would you please follow along as I read, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly through mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. This morning I'd like to preach a message simply entitled, Forgiven. Forgiven. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, for another day to breathe, for another day to serve You. Thank You, Father, for the sunshine today. Thank You, Lord, for the country that we live in. Father, thank You for the visitors who are here, but Father, I'm thankful for those who are faithful each and every week. Lord, there is no doubt that evil has seen the notes that are typed out today. Satan knows Your word. He knows the verses that I'm going to use. Father, I truly believe in a message like this, Satan will try to fight with everything that's in him to distract us from hearing the word. Lord, I don't know if it's going to be a cell phone. Father, I don't know if it's going to be a health reason, power turning off, lungs giving out. Lord, I don't know, but Satan's going to try to stop this. But greater is he that's in thee than he that is in the world. And we serve a big God, and you're that God, Savior. Lord, I'm asking today in a supernatural way that you'd take away all distractions. Father, give us the next couple of moments to concentrate on these verses. Father, I am asking for clarity of thought, that we rightly divide the word of truth. And Father, even for believers in here today that have heard these verses over and over and over again, that even they would not tune you out, but that Father, we'd be tuned in. Lord, let your light be bright in here today. Savior, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I often ask this congregation, if you're saved, say amen. And we hear that word, amen. It's really an incredible thing to be in this time, this dispensational period, for us to come in and have a room full of believers, whether they be just saved or saved for many, many years, to be in a congregation of those who have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be honest with you, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it makes me so excited to once again gather with believers and come in today and to gather with you as brothers and sisters of Christ in Christ and be able to proclaim His Word. It brings joy on my face each and every Sunday to watch as the cars begin to pull in, for the nurseries to begin to fill up, and the young kids to head off to Sunday school, and for us together on a day like this. To be honest with you, I absolutely love Sundays. If you love Sundays, say amen. Now, we don't always love what comes before, getting kids ready or grandkids ready and fighting the traffic and not being able to make it in time to pick up our coffee before we come in. And there's a lot that goes into a Sunday, I understand, but we ought to be excited about coming in and learning more about our Savior. Amen. I've said it before, but I'm just going to say it again. College football's coming up. Just a couple games yesterday. Amen. We got a lot going on, a lot of sports that are going to come on. We're going to cheer. We're going to go crazy. And I was able to go to 2 soccer games here recently at Cross Point. And, man, I sat with some of you moms on the sideline. And, boy, you cheer and go crazy for our little sons that are out there kicking that soccer ball around. And, man, we cheer and we go crazy. And, man, when we score, and especially when we win. Did the guys win yesterday? Has anybody heard? I mean, do we know? Anybody? There was a game yesterday, wasn't it? Tom, they won yesterday. 8-0. We won. Bless God. Amen. And we get excited. 8-0. That's right. We don't stop. Put it to them. Well, slow down. Let's put our... No. We just keep running up that scoreboard. Amen. Not when they do it to us, but I like when we do it to other people. Nonetheless, we get excited, Brother Jim, about those things. We cheer and we go crazy. And especially when we win, we high-five it. But then we come into church. We got to be quiet. Quiet as a church mouse. Shh, no amens. Let's all sit here. No, we serve a risen Savior, don't we? We ought to get excited about being in God's house. We ought to rejoice in Him. We ought to be glad when a pastor stands up and proclaims the Word of God. And we're excited today to see these young kids get baptized. And this evening for people that are going to join the church. And today, those of you who come in rejoicing, the people we've been praying about, they're in church service today. And I tell you, we ought to get excited about those things. And we ought to rejoice in Him. Somebody help me out with an amen today. Amen? But what happens in a person's life when they give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they get into sin? They begin to struggle. Those things that they struggled with before getting saved, they once again get back into a person's life. And I want you to think about this. Is there life for a believer, for a saved person, after blatant sin? Is there a way back to God after willful disobedience? These and many more questions we're going to face each and every day in our life. And we begin to ask that question, okay, I've struggled with bitterness and since October of 2003. I've held it against that person that hurt me or abused me or that I've struggled with that pride in my life of being successful or I've struggled with that sin of jealousy and always wanting what everybody else has and that TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook world of comparing my worst to everybody else's best. And man, I've struggled with those things. Or perhaps the sin that we're seeing today of perhaps pornography and pornography keeps coming back and I keep looking at or watching things that I know I shouldn't. Or perhaps that sin problem of struggling with the words that come out of my mouth and they're not edifying. They're not encouraging. They're negative. They're down. That sin of gossip that oftentimes destroys a local church. I struggle with it. And I got to hear and I got to get in. I got to know everybody's business. What happens in the life, not of the lost world, but what happens in the life of a Christian that knows Jesus as their personal Savior, and yet each and every week they struggle with these sins in their life? Is there a way back? I mean, what happens? Friend, how do we come in this morning taking so much time to get physically ready to meet with God, and yet we haven't taken 5 minutes to get spiritually ready to meet with God? Walk out these back doors and, well, the song service just didn't really get us going today. Well, pastor just kind of laid an egg. It really didn't talk to my heart. I want to ask us today, how much time do we spend this morning saying, God, give me what I need in your word. God, feed me today. Lord, when I walk in those doors, help me to be a blessing to someone. God, help me not to come in with a negative attitude. Friend, I'm just here to tell you, we can point fingers all we want, but when we're not in God's word, when we are not spiritually ready, friend, we can keep blaming everybody, but sometimes we got to look in the mirror. Sometimes we just got to get in God's word, and it might not be everybody else, but maybe using the word of God as a mirror, looking at our own lives, maybe God will begin to convict us. We're going to lay a foundation today, and to be honest with you, we're not going to jump really into this passage just right away. See, the question that I want to pose to us is not how does a Christian get back, or how do we find that mercy? How do we continue to live? We're going to get there this next week, but the question that I want to pose to us today is this. Now listen very carefully. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Now the question I didn't ask today was, do you believe there is a God? There's many people in this very area that believe in a God. There's very many people in this area that believe in the one and only true God. They believe that he's out there. They believe in nature, and they believe that he created, and they believe that he created the universe. So there's plenty of people out there, even in this area, that, oh yeah, you know, I believe in God, and I believe he's out there, but I'm asking, do you know his son? Do you know Jesus Christ? You see, I want to reiterate this morning, as many of you know, I am a true Bible believer. That means this: when I stand in the pulpit each and every week, you're not coming to find out the life and success of Thomas Shepherd. That's not why we're here today. I'm not here to say, well, come on in. I wrote a couple books, and I'm just going to give you my bio and kind of teach you some things. We're not here for that. In fact, this place, I don't even know who would want to even come if that was the topic each and every week. I am a biblicist, which means I believe in a perfect, inspired, inerrant word of God that Jesus Christ, God himself, left for us. It's complete. It's the canon of Scripture. Therefore, we meet every week. I'm not preaching this is what Crosspoint thinks is best. I'm not sitting here preaching that, well, this is kind of religion and, you know, this is what the folks before us have always done. And so, therefore, we're just going to kind of follow that vein of thought and we're just going to keep going. No, what I believe is that God left for us from Genesis to Revelation a plan. He left for us this path that you and I can be on as even lost, but especially as saved. He has left his perfect word to guide us, to direct us. He's given us his word. Now listen very carefully. And his word is perfect. besides God, name one thing that's perfect. There's nothing out there. We live in an imperfect world with imperfect people. Well, bless God, Pastor Shepherd, I'm telling you, I've given and I've done and I've been. I don't think I'm that bad of a person. The very thought that you and I can lift ourselves up to be something perfect as Jesus is, we are already full of pride in just the simple thought of it. Therefore, when we get to the word salvation, who are we going to believe? We think about salvation, the word. I'm not going to preach this morning, well, this is what my grandparents said. Well, in the South, Alabama, North Carolina, this is what we have always done. We're not interested in that today. What we ought to be interested in is that God leaves for us in His Word and says that there is an eternity coming. If you believe that, say amen. And for those of you who are saved this morning, you know without a doubt where you're going to spend eternity. Is that correct? Amen. But Jim, where are you going to spend eternity? You're going to spend eternity in heaven. Pastor Chris, where are you going to spend eternity? Miss Laura, where are you going to spend eternity? In heaven. Amen. Pastor, where are you going to spend eternity? Heaven. Brother Bruce, where are you going to spend eternity? Miss Gail, heaven. You believe that? God, no. Denny, where are you going to spend eternity? Rita, where's he going to spend eternity? No, I'm just joking. We know. We know. Brother Lingle, where are you going to spend eternity? Heaven. Carol, where are you going to spend eternity? Tommy? But Steve? Heaven. Ben? And Ben, you just been saved for what, about a month and a half, 2 months now? About that? You looked at your watch like, let me add this up. I know you're just coming off your honeymoon. Good to have you and Katie back. We're going to heaven. But George, where are you going? Heaven. Are you excited about that?
Yes, sir.
Come on, preach it, brother. I'm just here to tell you, we're excited because we're going to heaven. But the opposite is true. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is no in-between. Friend, I don't want to scare you this morning, but I do want to tell you just what the Bible says. That there is a place called hell that was created for Satan and his demons, and they will go there. But if you do not believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will spend an eternity in a place called hell, in utter darkness and pain for the rest of your life. You see, Jesus offers to you and I this free gift. It is, Brother Brian, not forced. It is a gift that is given. If I have your glasses today and these glasses are mine and I bought these for you, I could say, Brother Brian, I paid for these glasses with my money, and I'm giving them to you. You then have a choice to take it or not. Is that correct? You can either take these glasses and or you can reject these glasses. That is your choice. That is what we call free will. The free will is you can take it or you can reject it. But no one in here today who has been offered that gift can say, well, I'm in this medium. I'm not going to reject it, but I'm also not going to take it. I'm kind of in no man's land. No, if you, Brother Brian, say no in accepting this gift, you have already made that decision. Therefore, when we think about Jesus Christ, sorry about that, brother, I'm not meaning to trick you. Therefore, you and I, listen now, when you and I have been given this gift of salvation, it was paid for by Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one, the perfect Lamb of God that came and stretched out His arms on an old rugged cross. And friend, let me put it this way. They did not take His life. He laid it down willingly. And the last words that He said was, "It is finished." The penalty was paid. He paid for it with His own blood. And He offers that gift to you and I today. Now let me put it this way. You walk out those doors, you say, well, I don't need to really make this decision. I got plenty of time. Friend, let me put it this way. You already made your decision. You rejected it. Not one person has nor ever will slip into eternity and get a second chance on accepting this gift of salvation. Do you comprehend that today? No one ever has nor ever will get a second chance of leaving this world behind and then accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I want us to talk about salvation for a moment in a way that it's not just, well, here's what we think. No, let's see what the very Word of God says. First of all, we see in His Word that it is an individual salvation. Now, I want everybody to think about this for a moment, maybe as you're writing this down. I'm going to read some scriptures today. And I'm just going to be, I don't even know how to say this, but I guess just be very real with you for a moment. For those of us who have been in church a long time, Brother Donnie, we really can. Chris, can we not? You grew up in church, you know. We can, when I start reading scriptures, we can tune out, can we not? All of a sudden, are we going to make it to the restaurant? Pastor said there's going to be a baptism. It's going to add another 10 minutes of service. And then, what are we going to be? I got to get the grocery. I said, we read scripture. We can tune out. It's easy to do. Man, I do it. I can tune out very easily. I'm going to ask us today, just say, Lord, help me to tune into this scripture. Now, friend, I cannot see into your soul and tell you whether you are saved or not. Brother Eric, I don't know. I know you bear fruit and you said you're saved. But I don't have a light that, you know, I shine and, ooh, it's red, you're not saved. Ooh, it's green, you're saved, good. I don't have that. No, we don't have that ability to know. But I do know this, that I was commissioned this morning to give this message, and I'm going to give it. I'm going to ask us as a congregation to be in a thought and a process that there could be one person here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. How many would love to see that person come to know Jesus? Would you say amen? Let me try it again. Wouldn't you love to see somebody get to know Jesus? Say amen. Amen. I mean, we'd love it. You see, when we look at this subject of salvation, we comprehend, first of all, that it is an individual salvation. That means this. It is singular. Proverbs chapter 16 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, man's way seems to them right. It seems good. It seems, I've been a good person. I've been a good mom. I've been a good teenager. I've been a good son. You know, I voted right. I've always done what I think is right by, humanity. And I give to charity. And I attend church every once in a while. But man's way may seem right to us, but in the end, they are dead wrong. You see, the Bible says this, that it is a singular salvation. It's not plural. It's not by many ways. It's by one way. In fact, the Bible says it like this. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Neither, that means there's none. You don't go outside of. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. John chapter 10 and verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, friend, today you may say, well, okay, I'm lost, but what do I believe in? Well, believe on what? What do I believe on? No, look, watch out. It's not believing on something. It's not believing on what? It's believing in who. You see, there's many who claim to believe in God. I believe there's a God out there, and I believe He orchestrates and He designs things, and He might even have a little bit to do with humanity. But understand, every person that spends an eternity, watch, every person who spends an eternity in hell will believe in God, friend. There are a lot of people, even in this area, that they believe in God. Salvation, it's not on what? It's not based on the Baptist church. It's not based on this property. It's not based on mom and dad or grandma or grandpa. It's not based on works. It's not based on a feeling. It's not based on trying hard or baptism or good intentions or keeping the Ten Commandments. No, friend, understand. Listen now. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. alone. It's not plural. It's not a lot of gods. In fact, some of the gods of biblical times, whether it be Amon or Asherah or Baal or Beor or Chemosh or Dagon or Molech or Hermes or Pollux or Castor. In fact, the Word of God says that there are around 8,400 or 8,747 gods that can be mentioned, not to mention all the thousands of gods, little g, that the Mayans had or the Native Indians or even those that we may know by name today. That, friend, listen, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but this is the gospel truth. There are gods that are believed in today that are sending millions to hell every single week, whether it be Buddha or whether it be Muhammad or whether it be Allah. Those are not the God. The God is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God that sent his only begotten Son to this world to die for you and I. It's singular. There is only one. There's not many. It's not you and I. It's not the belief system of, well, I can have some of this and I can have some of this and some of this. And one day I hope, friend, I don't want to believe in a hope so salvation. I want to believe in a true, real salvation, that there is more to life than this old world, that one day I'll see that God face to face. I'll see him face to face. You want to get excited today? Head over to where Muhammad's buried. Dig it up, and guess what's going to be there? Bones and dust. Go ahead and head over to Buddha's tomb. Dig it up. See what's going to be there. It's going to be bones and dust, what's left of that body that was buried. But friend, you just go ahead over and head to the tomb of Jesus Christ and yell and dig and scream and get in there. And I'm just here to tell you, friend, it is empty today. Why? It's what separates the true and living God from all other gods, was that he not only died and was buried, but friend, our God conquered death. He is not dead. He is alive today. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 5, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, I know ye seek Jesus which was crucified. Listen to the words here. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he laid, and it's empty. Nobody's there. Isaiah said it this way, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Watch now. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Isaiah 43:11. I am alone of God, and beside me there is no Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 6. But to us there is but one God and one Father, of whom are all living things, we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things are we by him. James chapter 2 and verse number 19, thou believest and there is one God, thou doest well. Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Isaiah 43:10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe in him and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. John chapter 10 and verse number 30, I and my Father am one. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Somebody help me out with an amen right there. Watch this. Saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I give to any other, neither my praise to graven images. Jude 25, to the only one wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, bound both now and forever. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's one Lord. Friend, there's only one. Don't you love that song that we sing? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Listen to the chorus. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. It's a singular salvation, but also I want us to look today that it is also a life-changing salvation. I need a towel real quick, if you don't mind, Carrie. I'm so sorry, or a napkin or something. Hit the pulpit a little bit hard, and my hand's bleeding all over the place up here today, but I will change it out, Pastor Chris. Don't you worry about it. It's a life-changing salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Now listen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Listen now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. We are his workmanship. And watch now. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God the Father hath ordained that we should walk in them. You see, this life-changing salvation, watch now, it starts from the inside out. You see, oftentimes I think we kind of get it backwards that we feel like, we got to clean up and we got to get them good. We got to get them a haircut and we got to get rid of this wardrobe and we got to. That's how it's like we almost got to get cleaned up in order to come to church or meet God. Friend, it's just the opposite. Stop listening to religion. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will start changing you from the inside out, friend. You ever disciple somebody, preacher, and they come in? You haven't told them anything. The next time they come in, something's changed on them. Like, hey, what happened? You know, this or that. Well, I don't know. I just felt like I needed to. Well, how'd they know they needed to? I'll tell you why. Right here, somebody's talking to them. In our life, friend, it is a life-changing salvation. And I believe in the world that we live in because of religion and because of a bunch of standards and man-made rules and preferences that we almost feel like now we're at this stage of life where, I think they could come to Cross Point Baptist Church. You know, I think they can go to that church. I think they might fit in because, well, they fit the description. They look really good and they'd be a really good family to have in the church and there's not a lot of baggage there. And friend, whoa, time out. Who did Jesus die for? Say it out loud. Everybody. Somebody said, think Pastor Foe, sinners. Guess who that includes? Everybody. Every person in Hendricks County, he died for. Every person in Marion County, he died for. Yeah, but I don't know, Pastor, if you walk downtown, Layla, I'm just telling you, they look weird and they look different. Boy, this old world, that's just going to fill in the blanks. And boy, it's just over. I'm just telling you, friend. And with that mindset, it might be. But I'm just here to tell you, maybe they haven't met the God that you and I know. I know we talk about hot topics in here all the time. I'm telling you, for somebody who truly is a racist, they haven't met our God yet. Let God get in their heart and change their heart. I know a lot of times we're talking about transgender right now and a lot of things with gay and a lesbian and the pride and all this. Friend, look, we can sit here and rail and hate and this and that. Let's just be reminded today, God sent his son to die for that person. Reason's not going to get to them, but you just let Jesus Christ get a hold of their heart and watch what takes place, friend. The teenagers are just, well, the teenagers, boy, I'm just telling you, they're this and they're that they don't pay attention. The kids of this day and age, they're not what we used to be. Look, I get it, but we have a whole row of teenage girls up here. Now, girls, I don't want to embarrass you, but you stand up here for just a minute. Everybody just stand up. Go ahead. Oh, here we go. That's why we don't sit up front, Pastor. Thanks a lot. Now, I know live stream, I don't think the screen's on over in here, but for those of you who are in the overflow section, there's a whole row of girls that are standing up here. A whole row of them. Now, listen. Let me just ask your age. Go ahead. How old are you? 14? 14? 13? 13? 13? 13, 14 year olds. Now, friend, I'm going to put it like this. Ready, overflow? This is the next generation coming up. Now, Brother Jim, welcome back, by the way. So good to see you, brother. Come here, Brother Jim. Come on. I know. You're a little slower here lately. That's okay, old brother. So have I. You see my preaching? I can barely breathe lately. Now, watch. We can sit here. And we can harp on them all we want. Yeah, these old, I'm telling you, 13, 14-year-old girls running around this place like they own it. I mean, their dads have to spend a fortune in makeup. Oh, I can't imagine the good night. They're not going to accomplish what we accomplished, you know, because we were, you know, we're the stuff. We're awesome. We're just our generation, you know, the greatest generation, the millennials. Now, we can either have that attitude or we can get our wives and we can invest in this generation.
Amen.
Because if we have the attitude, all these girls, all they care about is volleyball, and all they care about is, you know, Michael Kors and makeup and their TikTok videos and how many likes they got on YouTube. While we sit here and harp on them, let me just put it this way. That's the world that they live in. So we can either invest in the world they're in and get a hold of them, or we could just complain all day long until the Lord comes back. Oh, but Jim, we might as well just sit down and relax. I'm sorry, but we could just sit down and relax and just wait till the Lord comes. Where are you going, Jim? Sorry, stupid hand. He's giving up, but I'm not ready to give up just yet. What a good pastor. Yeah. What a great pastor I am. Jim, we got to understand that if and when God gets in their hearts, God can do whatever he wants to.
Amen.
How many believe that today? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, Jim's a different generation than I am. I think he's like 10 years older than I am, somewhere right in there. And, this is a generation joining hand in hand with another generation that's going to join hand in hand with another generation.
Amen.
Realizing that when they get saved, Cross Point Christian Academy, watch out for this next generation coming up. We can either complain or we can invest, because when God gets a hold of a heart, I don't care, friend. Now, hold on, Jim. I don't care if that person is a drug addict. I don't care if that person is drunk. I don't care if that person is a homosexual. Let Jesus' love get inside them and show them who they are and who he is. And we must decrease and he must increase. And friend, you and I just stop worrying about policy for a little bit and get back to winning people and watch what God does in this area. Watch what he does. Girls, you may be seated. Thank you, Billy Jim, so much. It is a life-changing salvation. It is a salvation that we comprehend is individual through God. It's life-changing, but I want you to think about this. It's also universal. It's universal. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You see, your circumstances and mine may be somewhat different, but salvation is the same. We recognize our sinfulness and our final destination in hell, and we turn to Jesus Christ. We realize that he is the gift. We accept that free gift of salvation, and we are gloriously saved. That's why the hymn writer wrote this: in my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. O Lamb of God, I come. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing, listen to this verse here, don't tune out, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ, listen now, died for the sin of the world. It was not just for a select, it was not just for an elect, it was for the entire world. The Bible says, for he is the propitiation of our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Friend, watch very carefully. You may think that no one loves you. You may think your life is okay. You may even think that society has called you fill in the blank. But friend, you start putting all that aside for just a minute and realize this, that Jesus, the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, the God who has always existed, the God who exists today and will always exist, now watch, loves you. Really, Pastor, me? Yeah. You see, it's a universal salvation, which kind of leads us into, don't put your Bibles away, but kind of into comprehending that it is a gracious salvation. It's something that we really do not deserve, but it was given to us. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about us, it's about Him. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We, you and I, we do not deserve what God has given us, and yet He gives it to us free. Now hold on. Free. Free means this. No strings attached. The other day, my son, Tommy, who's in here, Tommy and I got done with soccer practice and we jetted into Speedway right up here on the corner. If you work there, this is not your fault, but we jetted into Speedway. And I said, Tommy, let's go get a slushie. And so we run in there. We run to the slushie machine. It's like 15 flavors. It's amazing. All the way from Mountain Dew to Coke to bubble gum to, I mean, it's just, I was in heaven thinking about, what am I going to get? Pina colada? Should I get orange sherbet today? I mean, it's just, it's incredible. All these. So I go in there and I said, Tommy, look at this sign. And this sign says, any size, 89 cents. I mean, for a man raising five kids, I just walked into kind of heaven on earth. You know what I mean? Like, wow, this is our new hangout place. Not Chuck E. Cheese, where it's like $500 for us to be there for a couple hours. This is 89 cents. Kids, dad's feeling generous. Go ahead and get any size you want. They can't read. No, I shouldn't say that. Sorry, teachers. They can read, okay? They don't get it, though. They just say, I'm here. So I said, Tommy, go ahead, get any size you want. Me and Tommy, what do you think? What size do you think we got? The extra, extra, extra big, double, bubble, huge size. The biggest one they got. In fact, I pulled one size out, and I realized it's not big enough. And I was going to put it back in, but they've got it to where you can't put those stinking cups back in. You know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah. So we both get the biggest size. We walk up there. And remember, Tommy, the cashier, the machine said, okay, that'll be four whatever, you know, 4.25. I said, oh, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I don't know if you knew this or not, but let me fill you in. Any size is 89 cents. She just stared at me, and she said, it says any size but the large size. I said, no, I think you're thinking of, like, the other machines, because where I'm at, like you said, just any size, 89 cents. I'm being nice, smile on my face, you know, I'm going to give her a track, maybe afterwards, nonetheless. I'm thinking about it. And I said, no, I'm sorry, man, but I'm telling you, like, I'll walk by there, it says any size. Well, she was frustrated, and she goes, I'll give it to you, but go back and read the sign. Kind of rude, snarky, but I'm like, oh, girl, I'm going to read the sign, and I'm going to come back up here carrying the signs, tell you, here it is. But... I was in the spirit, so I was like, okay, get rid of the flesh. So we get our drink. She gave it to us for 89 cents. We check out. We walk out, and you better believe I went up there to see that sign. I walk right up to it, feeling all good. Here we go. I'm going to prove her wrong. And I walk up to it, and it says, any size, 89 cents, except in tiny little bitty, get out five magnifying glasses to read it, except for the 32 ounce. She was right. You see, there was some small print there I didn't quite see in all of my excitement. Well, you might be excited today about receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. And this gift is really free. There's no small print. There's no accept me and then a couple years later, here's what you're going to have to do. No, it's totally free. It was paid for by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The precious blood has already been spilt. That temple veil, it was tore in two. You and I have a God that is not dead. He is alive. He speaks to us each and every day. And that God sent His only begotten Son. He died for you. It's paid. Here it is. All you have to do is accept it. Yeah, but Pastor, it has to be more than that. No, there's not. That's it. But that can't be like just it. Wouldn't more people accept it? Well, maybe we failed a little bit in telling people just how free and incredible this free gift of salvation is. Oh, but if I get saved, then I have to do that. What's it called? Give money in a box in the back, and I have to be in church. I mean, don't y'all go like five times a week or something like that? And then I got to join this. I got to do it. No. Mm-hmm. Nah, you know. But you'll want to. Amen. Oh, he'll change you. Look, there's a lot of things in our lives we change over the years, but there is nothing like a God in your heart and your soul change. He will put a smile on your face and joy on your heart and even give you peace that I can't explain. It's the peace that passeth all understanding. That's what Jesus is freely offering to you today. Not only is he offering, he says this, I'm knocking at your heart's door right now. I'm knocking. You feel that? He's knocking. Do you know him? Jesus. Pastor Dan, Miss Tammy, I'm going to ask y'all if you just come right up here. Miss Laura, I would ask you if you'll come right up here. Miss Carrie, if you'll just come right on up here. Brother Jim, you and your wife, I just want you to come right over here. Now, what is he doing? Oh, great. We got a baptism. Hurry up, Pastor. What? No, wait. Now, look. See how they already moved and they were stirred? This morning, if you want to know him, you walk right down this aisle. And I just want you to find, if you're a male, take one of these men. Female, there's three ladies up here. There's two men up here. You need somebody else? I'll grab Brother Beeman. I'll grab Brother Mike. There's 100 of us. There's 200 of us in here that's willing to take you into a side office right out here. We're going to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen, and I'm done. How many say this? Pastor, I know of one person. I know of at least one person that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I know one. You don't have to bow your head. Close your head. I want you to raise your hand. Go ahead, just raise your hand. Just one. I know one. I might not know their name, but I think I know one. No, raise it. Why don't you raise it? Raise it real high. My hands up, both hands up. I know of at least two. Our hands are up. Friend, what I'm going to ask you this morning is this. How serious are you about talking to that person? They might be in this very room today. Or they might be a son or a daughter or a grand or great-granddaughter or great-grandson. A neighbor. A friend. Do you really want them to go to heaven? Are you serious about it? I'm going to ask us today, in just a moment, to slip out and just come. Maybe you can't kneel, just sit right up here. Maybe you want to sit on the stairs or kneel on the stairs. But here's all I want us to do. I want us to pray for that friend this morning. Now watch, and I'm done. Let's just say this. Let's say I'm sitting here today. I just heard, I'm sitting by my sister, Tesla, back here. I'm sitting here today. Now, by watch, overflow, just bear with me for a moment. I'm sitting here today, and I know what that preacher's preaching is right, and I know I've never accepted. I don't know God. What do I do? Man, nobody on my aisle's moving. I got my sons here, my grandkids, I got daughters here, my mom's here, my aunt's here. I don't know. Okay, here's what you do. Stop worrying for a moment. And let's just say that Miguel raised his hand and knew somebody that wasn't saved. And we all stand. Everybody stand with me. Go ahead. Everybody, go ahead. Everybody stand up. And the invitation, just a moment, is going to start playing. And Miguel is saved. And Miguel, go ahead and slip out. And Miguel starts heading to the altar. Well, as soon as you see that, you head out as well. Miguel, I'm following you. And Miguel goes down. And Miguel goes right to the altar. You can stand right there. And I come up here. And I don't know what to do, so I just say, Miss Laura, I don't know. Will you talk to me? Here's what Miss Laura's going to do. She, right then, as people are moving all over, is going to take you into a side office. Watch now, where you can know for sure that heaven is your home. Put aside everything else for a moment. Think about eternity. What are my friends going to say? What are they going to say? Stop. Stop. Let us take the word of God and answer your questions today. As we're moving, Pastor Chris, get your team and ready here. As we're moving here in just a moment, here's what I want us to do. Slip out. If you're in this aisle, come on. Pastor Dan's ready. Miss Carrie's ready. Tammy's ready. Laura's ready. But Jim,
Miss Titus, we're ready. We've got our Bible. We're ready to take you. This is your moment. For the rest of us, oh, I'm saved. Yes, sir. Boy, I know the Lord. It's the greatest feeling in the world. Okay, we have a job to do. Let's step out and let's start praying for that opportunity this next week, that text, that Facebook message, that phone call, that knock on the door. Let us show how serious we are today. Let's take that name to Him.